I'm Rachel Hampton. I'm an editorial assistant here at Slate, and I'm your host for this season of Working. For the next few episodes, we're going to be focusing on influencers, taking a deep dive into an industry that's changed from one that was really only understood by teens glued to their phones to one covered by journalists at the New York Times and The Atlantic. This week, we're talking to Alana Wiles, creator of Mommy Shorts, which is a blog and social media presence that follows her life with her two young daughters. Alana started Mommy Shorts in 2009, when she was laid off shortly after returning to her job in advertising from maternity leave, and she's been a full-time mommy influencer since November 2013. Between her three Instagram pages, she has over 700,000 followers, and she's the author of The Mommy Shorts Guide to Remarkably Average Parenting. As a former ad exec, she's always intended to monetize her brand, and she brings a really interesting perspective to influencing as a parent and how the space has changed over the past few years. What's your name and what do you do?
My name is Alana Wiles, and I don't really know how to describe what I do anymore. I used to say I'm a blogger, but I feel like that's sort of antiquated now. So somewhere between a content creator and I guess what they call an influencer.
Ooh. Okay.
Or as I told my doctor yesterday, a new doctor, I said I work in social media.
Okay.
Then he had questions.
Yeah. I was like, how do you explain your job to people who have no concept of influencers or social media?
I feel like that's changing a little bit, because even with the doctor yesterday, who is probably like 75 or something, he as soon as I said social media, I think I said social media and content creation, and then he started launching into this whole story about how they quoted him on an article about Chrissy Teigen, but they misquoted him and he was trying to get back to the, I don't know. It was this very convoluted story, but it was hilarious to me that even this doctor has some sort of like weird relationship online with Chrissy Teigen.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like social media has definitely started infiltrating more into people's general life. But I guess when you first started, what was it like explaining what you did?
Well, when I first started, so I feel like I should say that I first was in advertising. And then I feel like people were talking a lot about mom blogs at that time, but like sort of as being like kind of something that like stay-at-home moms did for free products, or it wasn't, I don't think, thought of as like an industry. It was just more that I noticed that clients were starting to care about what the mom bloggers were saying. So I don't know. I think when I first started, I thought it was kind of a hobby that could ultimately get me a better advertising job.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that would ultimately be my career.
When did that change?
I would say it took about 3 years, I think, before it was 3 years before I like went full time blogger. But like leading up to, I mean, I always thought that it would be very relevant within the advertising world.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize that everything would sort of go in that direction. So I thought I could use it to sort of get to the next level with advertising. Because I didn't have, so I was laid off my job in advertising, and I felt like I had no digital experience at the time, so I thought it was going to be really hard for me to get another job without that. So this was sort of my way of creating my own digital experience, and I thought I could really learn this new upcoming world, and that could be a real advantage.
It seems like kind of a steep learning curve to kind of do blogging, like to try and learn digital skills. Like, how did you kind of start learning the tools of the trade?
Well, I've always been like a very ambitious, career-minded person. So I think when all of a sudden I was out of a job and I had just had a baby, and I was like, and to me it was like, I'm not like being a stay-at-home mom now. Like, that was not my plan. So I think while I was looking for a job, I just like needed to keep forward momentum. Yeah. So I just like researched the hell out of it and figured out what platform I wanted to be on and like how to design things and how, I mean, it's sort of amazing to me when I think about now how much I did to get the thing like off the ground. I don't know that I could do that all again.
It seems like a really heavy lift.
Yeah. I mean, at the time it was just like Instagram wasn't a thing yet. It was just kind of Twitter, Facebook, and the blog.
Okay. So you were in advertising and then you were laid off. What year was that?
2010.
And so then you started the blog. And so what kind of content were you originally starting with? Was it always going to be like a parenting blog, or were you like, this is just going to be a general lifestyle blog?
My model, and I don't know if you will even know what this is, but do you remember I Can Has Cheeseburger?
Oh, I do actually remember this. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was basically just memes.
Yeah.
It was just like this running stream of memes. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I want to create I Can Has Cheeseburger for parents.
Yeah. I see that with your parenting charts, which are so funny.
I know.
I don't have kids myself, but I look at them and these are hilarious.
I feel like sometimes I was so much more creative back then when I was like trying to come up with what this thing was. Whereas now I feel like there's a lot more like expectations of what, you know, what does well and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously like Instagram has changed everything. But yeah, at the time it was like I was just trying to create like very funny, almost like soundbite images or something.
Yeah, because
that's a meme. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that word at the time. but that was sort of what I was thinking. So if you go back to the very beginning of the blog, it really was like I would just post a photo with like one line,
mm-hmm.
or like a caption, mm-hmm. you know, or I used to have a caption contest, or I'd have like a video that was like 15 seconds or whatever. And maybe like I'd write like a paragraph about something that happened.
Yeah.
But it was very, very short content, which is why I called it Mommy Shorts.
Oh, yeah.
And now I feel like that's what you get from social media. Mm-hmm. You know, you would never go to a blog to see one photo.
Definitely.
Or read one line.
Yeah. So do you think that you said Instagram kind of changed everything? Was that when you shifted more towards like longer posts on your blog, or had you kind of started making that shift before Instagram really
blew
up?
I think I made that shift by sort of becoming involved in the blogging community.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, kind of when I started it, I wasn't reading any blogs. Like
absolutely
nothing. So I think through sort of seeing what other people were doing, I sort of got into longer form writing. And also, I think with Facebook, I sort of recognized that if you're going to drive someone away from Facebook, there should be a reason for them to be there.
You know, they
should be able to stay there for a while or whatever. So I think that shift came just from sort of like learning the space a little bit. And then I will say with Instagram, I feel like I could talk for like 10 hours.
I want to hear all of it.
About how Instagram changed everything. But I think that sort of changed because I think it made everything go in a much more personal direction. When I was originally writing, I was trying to write sort of things that would appeal to, you know, all parents.
Yeah.
And I think when you have like babies and toddlers, a lot of the things that you're going through are very, very universal. So, and I knew like the things that did well on Facebook were sort of, they weren't really like me talking very specifically about, you know, my children.
Yeah.
It was more like list posts that like everybody could relate to.
Yeah.
And at that time, I think Facebook was by far and away like the main traffic driver. I think that's how I like built my entire blog, just like word of mouth on Facebook, which was kind of nuts.
I'm fascinated by how Instagram basically changed the blog and changed your approach. Could you just talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So I think that, first of all, it made it a lot more photo-based. So, like, when I used to post something, post a blog post, it would be, like, one photo at the top, and then it would be all writing. And then I think as I got more into taking photos, it's, like, now it's, like, there's tons of pictures within a blog post. And it just makes people, like, very familiar with you and your family. So on Instagram, I feel like people really gravitate towards when you're talking about yourself. Like, they really want to get to know you. They want to get to know your family, your kids. Whereas Facebook was more universal content, and the things that would get clicked on were things that anybody can relate to. So I always found that the things that did well on Instagram didn't do well on Facebook.
Mm.
and vice versa.
I don't know.
It's interesting.
So would you have to make different content for Facebook versus Instagram?
I mean, I guess technically that's what I should have been doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I definitely had different things in mind. Like, okay, this would be a post that would do well on Facebook, or this will be a post that would do well on Pinterest, or this will be something that people on Instagram will really like. But actually, when I started Instagram, I really just really loved the platform. And I think that's one reason that I've done well there. It really wasn't as part of a blog strategy.
Okay.
It was just like, I just started getting into, like, I loved looking at it. I followed, like, a lot of photographers at first. So I wasn't even really part of, like, the mom blogging community there.
Yeah, okay.
It was more like I was appreciating the way, like, seeing how people took pictures. And I think it changed the style very much of how I took photos of my kids, which you can totally tell from, like, if you look at, like, photos of my older one when she was little compared to photos of, like, my little one. But I think I just really enjoyed it. And I was using it just really for me.
Yeah, it's more of a personal than a business decision.
Yeah. And it took me a long time, actually, to even, like, I was never promoting the blog. Like, I never said, like,
okay,
come, like, yeah, you know, oh, I posted this today or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't remember if they had links out at that time. Or,
yeah, isn't it now still, like, you have to do link in bio even
if
you do a post?
Yeah. Or you can do the swipe up now with
stories,
which
stories
has helped a lot, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, so for a very long time, I was just posting photos and I wasn't saying, come look at the blog. It wasn't until like, I feel like it was like a year, right? Then I had this audience that was really invested. I'm like, by the way,
there's also a blog.
You want to learn more, you know? But yeah, but I feel like that's sort of why I did well there, was because I wasn't using it to promote something else.
Yeah, that's definitely something that's kind of come up, is that Instagram users really seem to understand the difference between content made just to sell them something and content that's actually about someone else's personal life, which I think is why most people go to Instagram, is not to get sold something, even if you do get sold something.
Right. My husband gets sold stuff all the time.
Definitely. So you said that Instagram kind of made your blog more personal just because that is what people are invested in. How do you kind of keep your life personal and private? Or how do you like kind of bridge that gap?
Yeah. My rules and restrictions around this has definitely like increased as the kids got older. I think when they were younger, all the things that I were talking about were things that all parents were talking about. So like any problems with like taking your kids to a restaurant or like potty training, like those, it didn't feel like I was really revealing anything very private about myself. I mean, I could certainly like weave stories that were very personal to me, but it just sort of seemed to relate to what goes on in general at this time in your kid's life. And I think I always thought about it like, okay, at some point my kids are going to read this and I don't want them to be embarrassed and I want them to think it's funny and all of that. So I always sort of had that in mind in the stuff that I shared. You know, I don't think I ever said anything bad about my kids. If anything, like I was the one, I was the kind of, you know, fumbling around, not knowing what I was doing. So if the jokes would come out of like my, what's the word? Incompetence.
Yeah, it's like self-deprecating versus like talking about your,
Yes, I was never like mean-spirited. And I feel like there's a lot of, you know, posts that I'll read where people are like very like talking about how, you know, awful parenting is or like how this is so difficult. And I really tried to strike a balance, which is how I actually feel, which is that like it's really hard, but like, you know, it's awesome as well. So it was more about sort of, and it seems like everybody talks this way now, but at the time it felt sort of new, was that you could sort of acknowledge what made parenting hard while still being totally thankful that that's where you were and that you have these amazing kids and all that. But I always tried to talk about things in like a very real sense. Like I felt like a lot of the blogs at the time when I started, like the mom blogs were people that were like, you know, doing lots of recipes or DIY projects or like, here's how you organize your closet. And that's not me. I feel like more people are like me than people who are doing like perfect crafting.
Definitely.
Tutorials or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's what brings in people, especially who like aren't parents. It's just kind of the same with our parenting advice column, where a lot of people who aren't parents read it because it's just good and it's about life in general. And it's not like, here's how to create your perfect life with your perfect children.
Right. And I'd say that is also the interesting thing that has happened because of Instagram, is that I have a whole audience of people that don't have kids, because I think it's a younger audience. And then I think people just like finding entertaining people to follow. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like, I'm looking for tips on how to get your kid to do homework or whatever.
Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
So I guess kind of going back, when did you begin monetizing what started as a hobby, and what was that transition like, and how did you kind of get the business acumen? You started in advertising, so I'm assuming you had a leg up than most people who kind of just start blogging.
Yes. When I first started, I always knew that I wanted to do branded content. So that was one thing that like I always wanted to weave branded things in there, whether I think just coming from an advertising background. So it was like whether I was recommending a product or, you know, or I knew that it would come eventually, so I didn't want it to come from left field. So I think I did it like, you know, I would tell personal stories and then I would do product recommendations. And then the first like branded assignment I got was actually for Cheerios.
Oh.
And it was $25.
Oh, and less than expected.
But I mean, this was, you know, this. But for me, I was like, it didn't matter to me how much they were paying. It was like, I just wanted to sort of establish that this was part of the blog. And it was like, so it was pretty early on. And I always tried to write like, you know, branded content, like as if I would write anything else. Like I wanted to be just as entertaining. I don't like, I love doing branded stuff. Like, because that's what I used to do like that. I think it's fun to figure out like how to weave these things in, as long as it's like something that you feel good about, you know, a brand that you feel good about working with. So that was my first post, and it was, I did it because I wanted to, not my first post, probably my first branded post, but I did it because I wanted to sort of establish with my audience that this was going to be something that happens here. The other thing that I was doing a lot was I was doing a lot of like photo submission stuff and contests. And I realized that a really easy way to weave brands in, like in sort of a seamless way, would be to have them as the prize. Yeah. So I think I want to say at first, like maybe I want to say I was doing contests where I'd sort of have like joke prizes. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think I was like paying for them. I'm like, you win the honor of being the winner, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you get to be named on the blog.
But my first big like branded contest was I wanted to do a cake smash contest.
Oh, so, what's that?
So cake smash is like it's something that like parents do with their kids. Mm-hmm. When they on their first birthday, they'll just like put a cake in front of them.
Oh.
And then they go to town.
Yeah.
And there's all these funny pictures online. So I was like, let me have people submit their cake smash pictures, and then I'll find a brand to be the prize.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think if they had come to me or I went out to them. But I feel like, because at the time, I feel like a lot of people offered free product. So I want to say, and I'm not sure this is 100% correct, but Crumbs Bakery, and I feel like they were promoting these like big cake size cupcakes. So I got back to them and said, I would love to have you as the prize for this contest. Mm-hmm. And I had done a bunch of these contests, so I knew how much traffic they got and I knew how into them people were. So I you know, I packaged it together and made this whole proposal to them for like what was a significant amount of money. Much more than $25. So I sold this big, I ended up selling this big contest to them. And that was like the first thing where I was like, oh, the blog can make real money. It's just a matter of convincing brands that it's valuable. Because brands didn't have social media teams then or anything like that. It was just sort of figuring out a way to convince them that space was valuable. But I did have like considerable page views at the time. So to say this many people are going to see it, they're all within your, you know, target audience. And that was the first time I did like a real sponsored initiative that actually paid some bills.
Yeah, sponsored campaign. So this was before you started going full time on the blog?
This was before full time. And then I think that from that point, at the beginning, it was me reaching out to brands, telling them who I was and why they should work with me. So it was sort of educating a lot of the brands on why my audience is valuable and, you know, what it could do for them. And I did bring on, you know, a bunch of people that way, but definitely not enough to like make it my full-time thing. I was also freelancing and advertising that whole time, which like pretty much full-time and doing the blog at night. And then I met somebody that did partnerships for big brands, and she was looking, I feel like it's sort of a convoluted story, but ultimately I convinced her to try and do what she did for these big brands. Like she worked for like hotel brands and things like that, to try and do that for me. And within like the first month that she started working with me, she sold a really, really big campaign, which was for Allstate. And originally they had come to me because they wanted me to blog for their website. And I was like, I have no interest in doing that whatsoever. Like, but I had started this series called Monday Mornings. And this was a series that was like that I actually would go to people's houses and document their mornings. And I just did it in New York. And it was this whole thing to like show people that their mornings were more beautiful than they were.
That's so cool.
It was. And everybody loved it. It got a really, really great reaction. And everyone's like, we want you to go across the country and like shoot all different kinds of people, like not just New Yorkers. And I said, there's no way I'm going to be able to do that without a sponsor. Like, I'm not going to pay to like, you know,
travel. Yeah.
travel that. So then we built a proposal around Monday mornings that we were trying to sell. And when Allstate reached out to me about blogging for them, her name's Kara. Kara was like, well, why don't I ask them if they do Monday mornings? And I'm like, you're crazy. They're never gonna do that. And they ended up doing it. And again, it was like, and that was like a year-long partnership. It was a pretty, definitely the biggest blogging paycheck I've gotten.
Yeah, yeah.
And that sort of proved that, you know, us working together was that she was kind of doing it while she looked for another job.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that, I was like, I think you should just, you know, do this for me.
Yeah, just work. This is working out.
Yeah. And so, and she's been working with me for now 7 years, and she has a few other bloggers she works with as well.
So this kind of gets one of my questions, which is, you've been in the space for a while.
Yeah.
And so did you find when you were first starting out that you were kind of convincing people that this was like a viable business model and not just like a hobby, or like kind of convincing brands that didn't understand social media that this audience was important?
Yes, for sure. I definitely, like, I feel, and I miss that a little bit.
Really?
Like, you know, well, I miss, the thing that I miss about it is when we were going out to brands and saying, you know, I want to do this, like, yeah. I was coming up with the campaigns. Like, mm-hmm. That's what I love doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was coming up with ways to work with brands. We were building proposals and sending it to them and then convincing them that my audience is valuable and we should do this.
Yeah.
And that whole process was really fun for me. And it also meant that all the content that I was producing were completely original, and they were all my ideas and all my campaigns. Now I feel like because every brand or advertising agency, whatever, has, you know, entire departments built around social media, a lot of the time they're coming up with their campaign and then sort of wanting to see if you want to participate, you know, along, like, they're getting a bunch of bloggers to do something or whatever. So I always, there's still tons of opportunities that come through where it's a little bit more free form and I can, you know, I can come up with my own idea. I always like that stuff better. But I feel like when we were like I was just coming up with things I wanted to do and then being like, what would be a good brand fit for this? And then we were reaching out to multiple people to see if they'd want to get on board. That felt a lot more, I mean, that I love that piece of it.
Seems like a really creative way to kind of go about it, and seems like really cool to have your own ideas instead of having a brand approach you. And so I guess now when brands approach you, how much input do you have over ad campaigns that they want you to participate in if they're getting like a group of bloggers together?
It depends. I mean, sometimes I still have a lot of input. And obviously, if a brand's going to be really strict with what they want to do, unless that thing is awesome, you know, I'm probably not going to do it, you know. But I feel like it's almost easier now because I feel like so many things like have revolved now around like real-time experiences or events and like stories has definitely changed everything. So I feel like a lot of brands now will come to you like, we're doing this event and we want you to come and like put together a story about the event and a photo.
Okay.
I feel like that's a lot of what happens now.
When did you kind of know the moment that you could do this full time?
I think it was when we stole that Allstate campaign.
Yeah.
I think that was a big moment. And then there was, at one point, the agency that I had been freelancing for a long time, they started making, because they knew what I did and they were very, very supportive of it. And I think that started becoming like a bigger piece of their presentations. Mm-hmm. So they were incorporating the mom bloggers like into what they were selling. And I was always like a big piece of that. So I think I sort of also recognized how much more important what I did was becoming to the ad agency I was working at. So I think that was sort of helpful to see. And then the other part of it was that when you work for an ad agency, a lot of the, like if you present an idea to the agency and they, you know, they present it to a client, that client owns the idea whether they run with it or not.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I believe that was how it was. And definitely the agency would own it if it's something that they're paying for your time and you're presenting it to them. And so a lot of the brands that I was working on were baby products or whatever. And so I remember like this one moment we're brainstorming things and like something came up and I was kind of like, well, if they don't use that, I'd like to use it for the blog. Like I could run with that. And then sort of realizing that if I presented it, it wouldn't be mine anymore.
Then
realizing that it wasn't really that fair
to
be in that position where like you're not going to give them your best stuff, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
So that was another piece. And then it was also, I think at one point there was like a job offer. And I had to make sort of a decision, like, okay, is my career going to be at an ad agency as a creative director, or is it going to be forging this path on my own as this, whatever you want to call it, blogger, content creator, influencer. I think influencer is a word yet, but least not in that sense. But I chose the blog. I just thought that that had the better, I thought there was more to be done there. There was more success to be had there. And it was more exciting for me.
Were you like nervous at all, though, when you kind of made that leap?
No. Maybe a little bit. I mean, the other thing is, by the time I left and decided to go that way, I was already making more money from the blog than I was in freelancing.
Could you kind of take me through like what your day-to-day looks like? Like what do you do Sure. from like the beginning to the end of the day?
It's so funny because I feel like because now there's so many different things, like there's so many different platforms and all of that. So it's, I think for a while there, it was when I'd come into the office, I'd want to, like writing the blog post would be my first priority. And then I think probably like a year ago or maybe 2 years ago, I think it switched to being like, okay, Instagram is the top priority. So now I have 4 Instagram accounts. So now a lot of my day is like figuring out what I'm going to post on each of them. You know, I want to write a blog post.
Yeah.
I want to post something on Mommy Shorts, which is my personal, not my personal, but my personal / blog account. I have Average Parent Problems mm-hmm. Instagram account, which is where I put like more of the, you know, funny meme type content.
Yeah.
And then I have something called Mommy Short Squad, which I started so that I could sort of tell parenting stories that weren't necessarily mine. Because I felt like so much is focused on Instagram, but so much of my blog was like about parenting in general or like featuring other families. And whenever I would post someone else on Mommy Shorts, like people are like, what's this? I don't follow this person. You know?
I'm like, who is this?
Right. Yeah. So Mommy Shorts Squad, I sort of put together so that I could feature other people.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be so dependent on what was going on exactly in my life. And then me trying to like relate things that I wanted to talk about to like family, you know?
Definitely.
So I started that 6 months ago, I'm not sure, and it's been doing really, really well. So that's exciting.
That's a really cool way to like engage your audience to like have this separate account for them.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I'll quote people a lot, or I use the comments and things like that in my audience to sort of create the content instead of like, you know, finding a funny tweet on Twitter that like I don't know that person, but I assume he wants it shared or whatever. This is all coming from the people that are commenting on my blog or on Facebook or on Instagram. And we also have a pretty successful group at the moment called Remarkably Average Parents. That's on Facebook. That's been like the thing that's really growing also. I'll go on there to, you know, I'll usually like pose a question that I think might elicit some really good responses that I can pull from to put on Mommy Short Squad. And then it's like, okay, if I get enough responses that are really good, do I make a blog post with even more more responses?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting. I feel like more and more, like even, you know, with the things that I do or working like with my own content and then also like working with brands, it's like almost you can try and figure out a way in for each one.
Mm-hmm.
So
like each brand?
For each Instagram.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because that becomes something that it's more content, number one. And then it's also like something more that you can sell. So like now it's like if a brand is coming to me to work with me, we can say we can do this on Mommy Shorts. We can do this on Average Parent Problems. We can do this on Mommy Shorts Squad. And they're all very different. So it sort of creates like a larger package.
Do you see different audiences between each Instagram account?
There's definitely a different audience on all the accounts. I'll say like my, you know, the people that are the biggest fans definitely follow all of them. But yeah, no, there's definitely a difference. And I notice a lot like, because I think more and more like, you know, when people post, like, I think like the whole blogosphere has sort of gotten into like, you know, posting more, you know, political things or, you know, like big issues of, you know, that are going on today. And so I notice that on Mommy Shorts and Mommy Shorts Squad, it seems like 99% of people are like aligned with me with what I think or at the very least very open to having a discussion. So, you know, I'll get comments a lot like, I don't have the same political views as you, or I don't agree with you, what you're saying, but I appreciate, you know, that you're using your platform in this way or whatever. But on Average Parent Problems, it definitely like elicits a much more controversial reaction, which is just interesting to see.
Yeah, that is really interesting. So do you, I'm assuming you have to tailor content, or do you kind of not want to cause controversy on like the Average Parenting Problems? Or
I feel like that ship has sailed. For me, I feel like there's more value in posting something on Average Parent Problems if it's a big issue like that, because you are talking to people who might not necessarily be aligned with you. Whereas, you know, if you're just talking to people who are all in agreement, it's not going to move the needle at all. But maybe you can change a few, a few lines over on Average Parent Problems.
Yeah.
But it is like, you know, I have to like sort of brace myself for that, because I'll know it's coming. And you're always going to like lose followers from that kind of thing too. But I try not to care about such things.
It's worth it. So I guess with brands, when you're kind of pitching yourself, I mean, you're pretty openly political about certain things. Like, I've seen on your blog that, like, you mentioned Trump and you talk about, like, racism. You talk about, like, raising, like, young girls in this current world. Has that ever been a problem with brands? Or is it kind of... Tell me more.
This one I won't name things, but I did. Yeah. I mean, I lost a huge partnership over it.
Oh, wow.
Which, and, you know, and I'm just kind of like, well, I wouldn't want to work with those people anyway. But it definitely, like... That one hurt, because we've been trying to sell it for a really long time, and I was really excited about the campaign. It was something that I had, like, it's like this idea that I've had for a while, and we finally sold it, and then I came back and said that they and that they had seen some, you know, tweet I had put out there. Also, it's like half the brands are, I think, making political statements all the time now too. So I would say most brands, I think, don't have an issue with it. We also lost something recently that I won't discuss, but that I have my suspicions that that might have had something to do with it. But it hasn't been explicitly said.
I've noticed, I guess, advertising and brands have gotten more political over, it seems like, the past 5 or 6 years. So has it, I guess, become easier in any way where you feel like less brands are pulling out for that reason?
I mean, we only had that one, that one big one that, like, we knew that that was why. Yeah. So... I don't know. It feels to me like a lot of brands have a more liberal, or at least the brands that I'm working with have a more liberal point of view. So it doesn't appear to be an issue. I feel like as long as, I mean, in most contracts, they're going to say, we don't want you to talk about anything political, like, for this piece of branded content, which I wouldn't do anyway. But it doesn't seem like most brands have an issue. There's a couple times we'll get a contract which will say something about, like, you know, saying things that are controversial, like, in general. And I always sort of push back on that. But to me, it's like, if you haven't done your research, it's not like I'm hiding anything.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's like, you should know who I am when you're approaching me.
Right.
Okay.
Which I assume that they do. I mean, there's been a couple times I've worked with someone where, like, I'm alerted to something later that I'm like, oh, didn't know that.
Yeah, I feel like that happens to all of us. We're just like, I'm supporting this. Never mind.
But you asked me before about, like, my day-to-day.
Yes, yes.
So my day-to-day would be, I come into the office and I sort of, you know, we have a to-do list that we go through. Mm-hmm. So that's usually, and it's just everything sort of at different stages. So it's like, there's always, like, there's the editorial content and there's the sponsored content. And you're always working on all those things at once. And I think what people don't usually understand is that there's more than one sponsored thing going on at once. Yeah. And you might not be posting it for, you know, weeks or whatever, but you're still working on it. Like, there's nothing more frustrating than, like, we'll be working on, like, you know, 5 different sponsored things in a day, but none of it's posting for a while. And then it feels like I have nothing to show for my day. Like my audience thinks that I've just been, like, relaxing and watching TV or something, but I've been, like, working my ass off. When you don't post something, nobody knows.
What else do you think are some of the more common misconceptions of your job?
Well, I always say that, like, the people who are really good at social media make it look effortless. The better you are at it, probably the less work it looks like. But that's not the case at
all. That's not true at all, yeah.
Because it's like you work so hard. Like, stories now, for instance, like, if you're doing a branded story, which I feel like that's become more and more brands are asking for stories, you were getting approval ahead of time on those as well, you know?
Oh.
Do you not do that?
I do not.
So, well, like, you know, you'll go to an event, you'll be taking video and pictures and all that stuff, but you're not actually posting it. Then you have to put together the whole story. So I have, like, a fake account where, like, I'll put together the story so I can send it to the brand to get approval. And then you have to rebuild the whole thing again. So it was where, like, with a video, you'd actually have the piece of content that you could just send them, they'd send back whatever. This is, like, you have to rebuild things.
Wow.
It's very time consuming.
I didn't realize that. The moment I realized that people weren't just posting directly to their stories was when someone I followed were like, oh, yeah, this is how I edit all my story photos. And I was just like, you edit
my
story photos? Like, I just take a photo and stick it on my story and I do nothing with it and that's it.
When I used to do Snapchat a lot, like, that was all in the moment. But with Instagram stories, I've always not really done it in real time. I try and do it within the same day, but I always feel like when you're with your kids, like, it's sort of impossible to, like, I'm fine, like, taking photos, videos. I feel like all parents do that. But if you're also going to sit there, you know, post Instagram, come up with a witty caption and, like, put a filter on it and, like, you know, like,
that to me is, like, you're not, the same time.
Right, you're not in the moment. That's what you're doing. I've been at, like, parties or, like, I'll say, quote, parties. Where, like, it'll be a branded event.
Yeah.
And, like, everybody there has been, like, hired to come and cover it. And, you know, everyone's there creating their own story. Nobody's really hanging
out.
No
one's really doing anything together.
Yeah, which is funny. Or, like, sometimes it's, like, the first, like, half hour of an event will be, like, everybody trying to get their stories together. And then you can sort of relax and have a drink.
Just like, okay, we finished that and now we're actually going to have fun.
We were at an event recently where, like, you know, everybody got a drink. And the first thing they did was you watch, like, 10 people at once, like, holding it up to the skyline and taking a photo of it.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I'm sitting there, I'm like, they haven't read the contract, because in the contract it says you're not allowed to post any alcohol in the story.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh my gosh. How much do your kids know about, like, the blog and, like, the Instagram and everything?
So now they know a lot.
Yeah.
You know, my older daughter has sort of, you know, it's been a slower process to sort of understanding everything. I think my younger daughter, because of my older daughter, sort of finds out about stuff and figures things out much more quickly. So I think a big piece of it is that I came out with a book a few years ago. And the book is, like, all about, like, the first 5 years of their life, but sort of, like, you know, more entertaining. So recently, I would say over the past, like, year and a half, Mazzy, my older daughter, has actually been reading the book.
Oh.
Which has been really interesting
like?
To see. And it's sort of like the test of, like, what I've been doing this whole time, because I always said I want it to be something that, you know, they're going to enjoy and, like, feel good about and, like, you know, that they have this document of their lives. And so far, so good. She loves the book. She thinks
crossed.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I think she just loves reading stories about herself. There's so many things that I would never have remembered if I hadn't written them down for the blog. There was one night where, like, I was putting them to bed, and I think I, like, told one funny story about, like, you know, something they had done when they were little. And Mazzy was like, we want to hear more stories like this. And I was just like, I can't remember anything. I'm like, oh, wait a second. Like, you know,
let me, like, 2013.
I was, like, Googling funny stories, mommy shorts, and then, like, you know, all this stuff comes up, and I started reading them. And there was literally, like, a blog post that was, like, 10 hilarious things Mazzy did, like, yesterday.
Yeah.
And so I started reading them, and they were cracking up. And what's funny is I don't remember any of this stuff happening either. Like, I never, ever would have remembered this stuff. And so I was laughing, too, because, like, it's almost like I'm reading them for the first time. So I feel like there's so much... Like, I feel like now I'm starting to, like, reap the benefits, and they are starting to reap the benefits of having this...
like, living document.
Living document, yeah. And then I think now what's interesting is Harlow still... She's six, so she doesn't really understand it. But Mazzy now, like, knows about Instagram. So she's nine. Like, some of her friends are on it. I always say, you're not supposed to be. It's 13. It's like... like, that's what Instagram says legally. So... She'll ask to, like, see the photos and things like that. And at first it was, like, I was a little bit weary about it, not because of what I've posted, because I really think, and whenever she reads, sits there and reads them, I always get a little bit nervous, but when she reads them, she always thinks they're funny and they feel true to her. It was the seeing the likes that I was, like, worried about. I just didn't want her to start, like, seeing how many likes that she got in a certain photo compared to another one. It doesn't seem to me like she's... thinking about that at all.
Not, like, registering yet.
Yeah, or, like, see, like, how many people have viewed something, you know. It doesn't, I don't know whether she sees it. It doesn't seem important to her. She likes looking at the photos and reading my caption. And I think it sort of, like, helps her, because I'm always, like, I think I'm funnier on paper than I am in real life. So I feel like it's helped her appreciate my humor.
Yeah.
And, like, a more, because I'm writing for adults, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
she gets to sort of hear how I'm, like, with other grown-ups.
Yeah, it's like peeking into your mom having a conversation with their friends.
Yeah, and it's like my whole thing. And, like, I've always just loved storytelling. So these are, you know, stories about my family and my kids. And she reads them and she's like, yes, that happened. And that's funny, you know.
This is about me.
So she really loves it in that sense. I think she also is now understanding that having, like, a following on Instagram is, like, a desirable thing. She's also certainly, like, witnessed, like, people coming up to me And
oh, yeah, what's that leg.
I feel like it started when she was smaller, so I think it's like it's not like all of a sudden. Like I remember it happening like in a hotel. That was like the first time that it happened, and her being like, "Do you know that person?" Like, no, but it's someone who reads my blog and, you know, they like my stories. So as she's sort of like seen more people come up to me and sort of understands that, you know, this is something that like I'm sharing with a lot of people and a lot of people are reading it, I've sort of I've tried to like help her understand that like I'm not a celebrity. You know? Because you can, like, kids, like, they don't understand,
exactly,
like, the, you know, the difference.
Nuances.
And she, at one point, like, asked me if she was famous. And I was like, no. Like, Taylor Swift is famous. But, you know, that was my initial reaction, to just be like, no. But then I was like, well, she has to sort of understand that there are, like, this small little faction of people that who would recognize her. So that's what I've said, you know, being, like, Instagram famous is very different than being like a real celebrity.
Yeah.
And then even in like Instagram fame, I'm pretty small.
Yeah.
So it's, but the, you know, those are weird nuances that are really tough to explain to a child. But I kind of feel like she gets it. I think the best thing is that she really, and I think this with like my husband as well, I think they just like, they trust the way that I write about things and that I'm not going to reveal anything that's like super personal. I think that's been, or anything that makes anybody look bad. I don't want her to come back to me and say, I can't believe that you put this out there. And I'm also kind of aware that, you know, her friends' parents are now reading it, or like people maybe at my husband's work or whatever. So I think I always keep that in mind when I'm writing, that it doesn't just affect me.
I guess one of the questions I've had about people who kind of like their kids are on Instagram, if, you know, your daughters grow up and are like, I don't want these photos of me online anymore. Do you kind of have a contingency plan for that, or kind of like an explanation?
I mean, that's really one of the reasons that I created Mommy Short Squad, was so that I could have a place that was sort of my voice and my tone and things I wanted to post about that had nothing to do with my family.
Okay.
I didn't want it to live or die with, with the kids, you know?
Yeah.
And Average Parent Problems as well, which is much larger than Mommy Shorts at this point. That's all photo submissions or shared memes or things like that. So I think if they ever decided, like, you know, we don't want any part of this, I would still have these two flourishing.
Yeah, it's just like, we can shatter that account.
I can't imagine that they would ever come back and say, we want you to take down everything that you had. And they might say, like, I don't want to be on there anymore. But I think the way that kids are now, and I've, you know, I would say that, like, at 13, you know, they're like, your kids are going to go online. They're going to post the most embarrassing stuff.
You know, completely accurate. Right?
Yeah. Way more embarrassing than anything that I've posted about them when they were like two, you know? So I think everybody used to sort of worry, like, you know, when you try and get a job and someone Googles you and then. And then this stuff comes up.
Yeah.
It's like, there's going to be so much that they've posted online by that point that has nothing to do with what I've put out there. I don't know. I just don't think it's going to affect people in the same way that we used to worry about that stuff.
Yeah, I definitely think that's true. I think there's like a certain level at which social media has become so normalized that having a photo of you as a kid is completely normal versus like whatever dumb things you're going to put on the internet when you're 16. So what are your plans for like when your daughters get of age to be on social media? Do you have like, this shouldn't be online, or like the account needs to be private, or X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, I think they'll definitely, their accounts will be private. And I'm already seeing this a little bit with Mazzy, is that, and what I hope is the case, is that because this is what I do for a living, that I will be a endless resource of information for her and like how to sort of navigate this world, because it's so incredibly tricky. But already it's like, you know, I thought I was like so ahead of the game, and then, you know, then you hear about like TikTok and whatever, and it's like,
don't understand TikTok.
I was so invested in like understanding Snapchat, because that to me felt like it was so much like younger than me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't understand this at all, which means that I really have to understand this. And I spent so much time sort of like figuring that out and getting it, and now it's like, I feel like Snapchat isn't nearly
really
as relevant
anymore. What is something about your job that people don't understand but you wish that they did?
I think that it's a real job, honestly. I feel like the term influencer is just such a like a bad word now. So I guess it's like, there are people in this industry. First of all, there's a whole industry around influencers, you know, all the PR people and the managers and the people, you know, coming up with the campaigns that they're giving to the influencer. And so for some reason, it's totally respectable to say, like, I'm a social media manager, or like, you know, or any of these jobs that revolve around working with influencers. But to be an influencer is considered like totally stupid and not a real job. So I guess what I would like to say, first of all, that like, you know, there are plenty of people that are creating content out there. It's a really fun, wonderful thing to do, you know, but it's a ton of work. I think people do not understand nearly how much work that most people put into it. And I think that is because if you're good at it, it looks like it's not a lot of work. But so much of people's time and energy is focused on watching or reading or, you know, this kind of content. Yeah. And to not respect the people that are creating it, I think is, I don't know what the word is a, I want to say something really profound. But I'm like, just an influencer. I can't remember the proper word.
Not at all. There's definitely like this dissonance between how much time we all spend on social media and the people who make it their job. And I think there's this weird feeling where it's like, oh, since I post on social media and I'm not getting paid for it, why is this other person getting paid for it? Because you don't see the work that they're actually putting in to like making this content. It's a really weird breakdown in thought between like, Instagram's fine for me, but for other people, it's like lazy and stupid.
Yeah. I think it's like the people who have audiences, they have that for a reason. You know, it's like either they're being really honest about something, they're being really creative about something. I mean, obviously, for some people, it's just that they're really attractive. You know, that's not my case. Like I'm writing, I'm producing videos, I'm taking photographs. Like it really is sort of like, it's almost like using all these different creative things that I've always been like somewhat good at my whole life, but not like amazing, you know. You get to combine all that stuff. I feel like advertising was like that too. It's like getting to combine all of these elements of creativity into like something that, you know, actually can elicit a response.
Yeah, it's like a one woman magazine.
Yes.
All right, well, that's all the questions I have. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's it for this episode of Working. Thanks for listening. Again, I'm your host, Rachel Hampton. Special thank you to Justin D. Wright for the ad music. Thank you so much to our producer, Jasmine Molly. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And if you have any questions or feedback, you can always reach us at working@slate.com. Join us next week for another episode on influencers.